turn the amp off. The amp. Let me find my Bible. If you have a Bible, you can open to Matthew 22. That's good, Keith. Good deal. That's good. And I'm just kind of all, I usually am more chatty, but I don't know how you guys are doing, but I enjoyed that. I was worshiping. That was really, not that I don't always, I mean, we always do, but I don't know. That was fun and good, but not just fun. It was like God's here. You know, I just got this sense. I mean, he's always here. I don't know how to even talk. Kind of messed up right now. God's here. I think he wants to do something really good in you and in me this morning. I'm just hoping I hope I'll be used by him. At the same time, I hope I'll get out of his way and let him do what he wants to do here. Because you know he loves you. And you think about that. I don't know if you've really thought about that. I mean, just the fact that, I mean, how much does God love you? I mean, a whole bunch, right? I mean, more than your mom. And your mom loves you a lot, right? We hope, maybe, depending on where you are. You know, at least even if you don't think she does, she does. But your mom loves you a lot. But God loves you more than your mom does. He loves your kids more than you love them. You ever think about that? Is that impossible, you think? It's possible, but he does. I mean, God loves you. That's huge. And we get to get together every week, and even more than just once a week. We get to get together and sing about how great he is and ask him to help us and worship him. And that's cool. It's so worth it. I'm so glad you guys are here this morning to sing with us and worship with us. And now I just pray that as we look into God's word that he'll speak to your heart and that you'll see real difference here. Because what we're studying right now for the next few weeks is stuff that could really change your life. I mean, we're studying life-altering questions. Actually, I'll let you know a little secret. I kind of hope that's the case every time you come. I mean, it's not like the rest of the time we just want to talk about, you know, stuff that won't change your life. But every week you come, we want to talk about stuff that'll flat out change your life. But where we are, we've been going verse by verse through the book of Matthew, and where we are in the story, Matthew, I mean, Jesus is on his way to the cross. I mean, this is just a couple of days in his life that we're looking at, where just before he is crucified, just before he's buried, and just before he rises again. And last week, these Sadducees, there were a group of religious leaders who didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. And so I can't help but say that. So they asked him a question about the resurrection, and he puts them in their place. And what's been going on in the last several weeks is these guys have been coming up to him and trying to trip him up and trying to make him look bad, because he made them look bad by showing up. And instead of kicking out the ruling government of Rome, he goes to the temple and he addresses their religion, and he says, "You guys are doing it wrong. You guys have messed up, and you need to repent and get back to worshiping and loving me." And they didn't like that. So they've been attacking him and trying to trip him up and get him to say something that will result in him being crucified, which is where they're kind of what they're working toward at this moment. And so the next few weeks, as you look through the text, it's just question after question that he either asks or is answered. And they have to do, when the answers to these questions change everything about your life. Last week it was, what do you believe about the resurrection? And if you think the resurrection actually happened, man, that changes everything. There are a lot of people that believe the resurrection kind of happened, but they don't really think about what that means, that someone actually beat death. Someone actually lives today that we worship. Someone is actually with us. So God is alive. Jesus is alive. And that has huge implications. We're going to talk about other, you know, big life-altering questions. And we've mentioned a few last week. Like, you were here because you answered a life-altering question a certain way when someone said, "Will you take this job offer in Florida?" And so a lot of you moved down here because you asked, and it totally transformed your life. And so now you get, like, grits for breakfast and big mosquitoes, and you get to see snakes, and you get really humid temp weather and great football. And not so much, well, even we had great basketball too, so it's kind of a good win-win. I don't see how it's not a win. But that was a life-changing question. Some of you guys answered a life-altering question of, "Will you marry me?" to someone. And so that That, and hopefully you ladies answered that question to the guys. Unless, that's okay, I'm cool with lady asking too if she needs to. But don't let him just drag his feet, girl. That's what I'm saying. Just go get to the point. But you answered that question and it changed everything. We're going to see some in a couple of weeks about who Jesus really is. And that's a question that he asked, who really is the Son of God? A couple of weeks from now, we're going to see, answer the question, what is God's will for my life? Have you ever wondered that? What is God's will for my life? How do I know which college to go to? How do I know who to date or what car to buy, what house to buy, where to go? We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. The question we're looking at this morning that Jesus actually answers in Matthew chapter 22 is the question that really is foundational for everything else. It's what matters most? What in life matters most right now? What makes the most difference? What's the number one priority of all of life? Because I found this to be the case. I think that as we go through life, our priorities have a tendency to change. I think they shift. And here's the thing. If the thing that you used to think was the most important thing, if it changed once, what makes you think it's not going to change again? And if it didn't do that, I left you a lot of blank space there because I want you to have some drawing time. Some of you have already filled it up with your picture of the guy's head in front of you, so you got to maybe have to find another piece of paper. Feel free to get another bulletin if you need to, but I've got all this drawing space for you. And am I the only one that used to do that in church? Did you guys ever do that? You draw the people, whatever? And so, okay. So we're going to, at the bottom kind of your little sheet here, all the writing's up here, at the bottom of your little sheet, we're going to make a little timeline. I'm going to try to get the darkest pen, the best pen I can find. I don't like that one. Let me test this one. Oh, I like that. Yeah, I don't like that one. Let me get this one. See if I can get a fourth one here. Oh, yeah, there you go. So, okay, so we'll get our timeline here, and this is your life. I know you thought it was a little bit wider than that, but that really is. That's your life right there. And so here's where you were born. And so you were born right here, and then, well, I don't know. Let's say you get 70, 80 years. We're going to, kind of just give you a thing here. We'll say right there, 85, 95, 105 for some of you guys, 65 for others, 55 maybe, who knows. But so this is your life. And at one point, so way back here, for me, it was way back a couple decades ago, before we had Blackberries and computers, I was born, and I was a baby. And I had a little bitty, I really didn't have any hair, but I did that just so you can see. So I was a little bitty baby, and I was born. And you were born at some point in the past, I assume. Everybody here was born one time, right? You weren't like hatched or anything. You didn't just come down. Okay, good. Okay, so we're born right here. Now, when you're born right here for a short period of your life, do you know what was the most important thing to you at that point? What was food? Yeah, it was really you, wasn't it? It was all you. It was you. And I know that you know this is true. You don't want to think this about your little kids, but they're sinners. And all they care about is themselves, right? All they care about is that they don't care that you need sleep. They don't care that you want peace and quiet. They just know that they need food. And they can't sleep, so everybody else in the house doesn't get to sleep, right? Or they wanted the toy, and somebody else took the toy, and so it's their toy, and so all that matters is they get with this. So it's all about you. So their priority was them. Now, our problem comes in life, which, and some of you may be married to some people like this, I don't know, but our problem comes is when people don't grow out of this, when it still remains all about them. That's still the most, what matters most is me, 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 me. You know, I want to talk about me. And that's what they want to do. That everything is all about me. And so there's a point in your life where that's what it's all about. And now you're going to be amazed at my artistic ability here, because I tell you, I've got skills, man, mad skills. You ready? So here it is. So then what happened is somewhere along the way, you realized that maybe it wasn't all about you, and you started to care about other people. And so you've got mom, and you've got dad here, and you got mom and dad here, and that's the only thing I can really draw, a stick figure. So we're going to use that a lot today. But so mom and dad, you started to care about them, and everything was important, and they had a priority, and they continue to have a priority, you know, throughout your life, right? So all through your life until they pass away, they have an important place. But I don't know, was there a time when they were the most important people in your life, and now and then at another time in your life, maybe they weren't? Did that ever happen to you? It happened with me. I mean, when they were, everything was about them. What they wanted, what I had to do to make them happy, and then that kind of changed. But that's where they were. And then after that, you went to, we'll pretend we're at Little House on the Prairie, and you went to school, right? So you had a school like that. I'm sure it wasn't. My school was never this cool. How cool is this school? It's amazing, except for the orange and blue stuff. That's kind of That's just sinful. But I mean, all the technology, it's really cool. But you went to school, and when you went to school, hopefully that had a priority in your life. Some of you had more of a priority than others, and so you went there, even you went to college, and all these things, and so you're preparing, and probably somewhere in that time period, let's say you're a guy, you probably met someone, so that was the most important thing to you until you met her, right? And she's really skinny, too. I don't know why, but so you met her, right? Do you remember her? She was the one, she was it, and that was the one, this is the one you're going to marry, you're going to be with forever. And so you totally just dissed all your friends, you totally just got away from them, you forgot about them, and you spent all your energy and time with this one person that was it, right? And now you can't even remember her name. You know, I mean, this was that person that you wish you couldn't, but then she just broke your heart. You know, that stink. And so, and girls, you do the same thing with a guy, and you think, this is it, and they become that thing that matters most in your life. You don't care what your parents say. You don't care what your friends say. You don't care what your class is doing. All that matters is that relationship. And then it goes away, and finally you go back and you find the people that replaced your parents as the most important, and we'll draw them here because I like drawing stick figures. That's what I do. And so these are your friends. These are your buddies, your peeps, whatever you call them. These are the people that all of a sudden, instead of listening to mom and dad, which was a bad decision, you decided to start listening to people that were like 13 because they have all that wisdom. And you said, oh no, you got to know better than my parents, man. So I'm going to go with what you say. I'm going to do what you want. And so you did this, and they became the most important thing in your life. And so then after that, hopefully you came back to your senses, and then you got out of college and school, and then all of a sudden your career became important, right? How I can do this, and your career now becomes the most important thing. And that has an effect the rest of your life, doesn't it? And then you met, hopefully you really did meet the one, you know, and so you meet her, and so that becomes important. She becomes the most important person in your life. You become the most important person in her life, and then eventually you get more little stick figures, right? And everything changes because everything's going along fine, and then you get more little people. So you get more little people, and you have kids, because kids are important, and they totally are. But here's a big problem in America today is what's happened is in families, which this relationship should be, this is just free preaching here, this relationship should be the most important in the family, but people have taken the kids and they made them more important than the marriage, they made them more important than anything else in life, more important than anything, and they've placed them in really the CEO chair of the house, and the kids are running the house, and it's crazy, and it's messed up, and so, but you've done that, but they become very important. Kids become very important, but the best thing about kids is because eventually down the road here, they have grandkids, right? And so the grandkids, man, now they really become important because they're great because you get to spoil them, you get to love them, you get to send them home. Man, it's awesome, man. They're the best thing ever. And you know, everybody says they would have had them first if they could, but so you have your grandkids there. They're getting really, really small because they're little bitty kids. And you get over here, and then down here we're going to retire, we're going to go on a cruise. So whatever your retirement's going to look like. So you work, that becomes important probably right around here. You start to realize, oh man, the retirement's coming. I better prepare. I better get ready. And so you prepare for that. It matters most at the time. And then you get there, you enjoy it, and everything goes on. Somewhere in here, you probably have some hobbies too. You guys have any hobbies? I'd like to surf, so I can't draw a surfboard, but I don't know how. I guess I could try. We'll draw a surfboard in here. You got a hot, that's a really bad fin. Okay, so and it's a single fin. Fishing, you guys like to fish? Those are my two things, are fishing and surfing. I didn't want to mess with yours, like golf or whatever they were. Mikey said Legos this morning. I don't know, but that's a fishing pole, actually. No, you know what? I should have drawn as a fish. Now, you know what? I'm a better fisherman than that, man. It was a big fish. Okay, so you have these hobbies, and there are times when, you know, those things consume your life, whether it's hunting, whether it's NASCAR, whether it's fishing, whatever it is. It's like, I don't care if I lose my job, I'm going to this thing, or what, that becomes what matters most in your life. Does that look about right? Is that pretty accurate? Now, here's the thing. All these things matter the most, but remember, this day is still coming. For everybody here, this day is coming. It's going to end. And then at that moment, you need to look back and evaluate, okay, what really matters most in life? Is it all this stuff? And relationships are important. We're actually going to talk about them a lot more next week. But all these things, what you need then is you need to have as your priority, as what really matters most in life, whatever it is, it needs to transcend all of this. Because this is actually where you're going to spend the majority of your time. It's not here. It's over here. I mean, that we can't see. This is going to be eternity. It's called forever. And so your priority, what matters most to you, should have something to do with this over here. In fact, it does. And Jesus was asked the question, what matters most? And what he didn't say was money, career, college, school, marriage, kids, grandparents, retirement, surfing, even though those things are really good and important. What he said was something that the guy that asked him the question should have known, but he didn't. Let's look at what happens here in Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, the Sadducees have just been silenced by Jesus. Now remember, the Sadducees are like the counter of the Pharisees. They're always arguing. They're both religious leaders. The Sadducees actually have more control, but they're arguing always against the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are arguing with them. And so he silences the Sadducees, and in verse 34, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. They huddled up. They said, okay. He got them to be quiet. What can we do? One of them, a lawyer, so not just an average Pharisee, but a guy who really knows the law. This isn't like Eddie Farah kind of lawyer. This is like lawyer that's an expert in the law of God. And so he comes, he knows the law inside and out, can quote it. He comes to Jesus and he asks him this question. He asks him a question. He said, to test him. Now the reason he does it is because he wants Jesus to say something that they can accuse him of blasphemy with, or something that will really hinder him. And he says this. He says, teacher. And when he says that, he's really trying to flatter him because he doesn't really believe he's a good teacher. He's just saying, rabbi or teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Just leave it right there for a second, Megan. That's the question that he's asking. Is to us, we just read that and we're like, okay, so he asked that question. But I'm telling you, to the people that were listening, this was a huge question. These guys spent hours and days and months and lives debating over which commandment was the greatest in the law. We think of the law, the first thing we think of is what? We think of the Ten Commandments, right? Well, they took these Ten Commandments and they said there are 613 Hebrew letters in those Ten Commandments. So they went through the first five books of the Bible and they found 613 different rules for you to keep. Can you imagine? 613 different rules. I flew back from Rochester, New York one time next to an Orthodox Jew, a really conservative guy. I mean, he was like, he had the whole dress and everything on, and the big hat, the I don't know what they're called, the things they twirl on the side of their face. Phylactery, he had it all. He had it every, before we took off, he had to read a prayer. We got up. He had to stand up at a certain time and pray this prayer. We got to the airport. He couldn't eat anything. I went and found him a Snickers bar that had the little kosher sign on it, and so he could eat that. But it was like he couldn't eat this or that. And I was talking to him, and he didn't really like Paul for some reason. I don't know. He wasn't a big fan of Paul, but I tried to tell him what Paul was saying. It was kind of it was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. And I think he did too. We had a great conversation. But in the conversation, he said, I would never recommend that anyone become what I am. He said, I would not want anyone to do it. It's too hard. He said, it's very hard. And he was going through all the rules and all the things that he keeps. And it's because you got this huge list of things you have to do and can't do. They took these 613 laws and they broke them down. They said they believe there were 248 parts of the body. So they had 248 thou shalt nots, don'ts. 248 things you can't do, never do, don't do these things. It'd be like thou shalt not root for Florida, or something like that, or Florida State. It would be whatever they were, the thou shalt nots. They had 248 of these things. And then they had 365 thou shalts. You've got to do these things. And that's one for every day of the year, right? So they've got all these things going on and they've got all these lists. Here's all this stuff. And they've broken all down. And what they would do is then they would rank them. They would do that. Yeah, like the American Top 40 kind of thing. They would say, okay, this one's more important than this one is more important than this one. It was like American Idol with the law every week. And they would sit around and argue about it and debate about it, saying, this one's better than this one is better than this one. And this one's more important. If you do this one, then you're surely going to hell. And if you do this one, maybe you can get forgiveness. If you lie about the dress, making somebody look fat or not look fat, then, you're probably okay. But if you lie on your taxes, then, man, that's a big one. You're really in trouble, right? And so they would rank them that way, and they would argue about it. Have you ever noticed that, like, religious people kind of like to do that sometimes? They tend to want to argue about stuff. They want to be right, and they want to rank things and talk about truth instead of living it out. That's what these guys were doing. And so this is a big debate that's been raging. He said, teacher, which one is the most important? What's the great commandment in the law? And I believe his hope is that he's going to say something that's going to incriminate him, that they're going to then take and use to throw him in jail and crucify him. But he comes back at him really strong. Because he said to him, Jesus, that is Jesus, verse 37, said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Go back to it. This is Jesus' answer to the question of what matters most. This is what matters most. Hey, let's read it together. Can you guys see it on the screen? Let's just read it together. You ready? What Jesus said, what matters most is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And what he's saying there is not, okay, you've got these compartments that you put everything in. What he's saying is you should love God with everything you've got. He's quoting Deuteronomy 6:5. Deuteronomy 6:5 is part of something that these guys quoted every day, twice a day. They called it the Shema because that's the first word in it. It's Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. The Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And so he quotes to this guy something that he already knows. When the guy comes to him and says, I want you to rank the laws and tell me which one is the most important one. He says, it's this one. And this one's huge. And that's a great one, right? I mean, I love God. I want to love God, right? Don't you? We want to love God. But this verse, this gives us some problems. Presents some pretty big problems, really, for us. Because the flat-out answer is that if I had to ask you, do you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and have you always done that? I haven't. There are times, even now, where I know I fall short of that still. And I still go back to it all being about me, or I get my priorities off. I look at the wrong thing, and you know, I mean, as far as being the most important thing, whether it's finances or whether it's a career, whether it's a hobby or whatever it is, I stumble into sin still. And every time I sin, it's pride. It's something where I chose to do what I wanted to do instead of what God told me to do. And I've said, okay, I'm not going to do what's really the most important thing here. But Jesus said the most important thing to do is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then he said in verse 38 that this is the great and first commandment. This is what wraps it all up. Let's think about it for a moment. Okay, remember the Ten Commandments? Who knows a Ten Commandment? One of the ten. Just guess. Even if you get it wrong, I'll pretend it was in there. Thou shalt not kill. Okay, if you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, are you going to go out and murder someone? You're going to go out and murder one of his created beings? You're not going to do that, are you? So that covers that, right? We're good there. We don't have to worry about 10 if we get this one right, much less 613. Think of another one. Don't lie. Okay, so don't lie. So if you love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, are you going to lie on your taxes? Are you going to bear false witness? You're not going to do that, are you? So the one covers that. What's another one? All those things. So, okay, so God gave you your mother and father. You didn't pick them. They're very important to you. So you honor your mom and dad. If you love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, are you going to honor your mom and dad? Yeah, you're not going to disarm them. It happens, right? What was one over here? The one, was it the same? What was it? That's the big one right there. And that's really kind of what this one derives from. So are you going to go out, if you love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, are you going to commit idolatry? Are you going to have other gods in front of you? You're not going to do that. This one covers all 10. It covers all 613. Here's the cool thing. It's kind of like cheating a little bit, really. Because what Jesus says is like, listen, you got 613 laws. These guys are trying to memorize them. They're carrying around their books. They're doing all this stuff. And if you want to get it all right, just love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love Him with everything you've got. But again, I told you that it provides a bit of a problem, doesn't it? Because we don't. Because we're sinners. Because we've sinned against God. And so, our response is kind of like, yeah, I like that, but even that one thing I can't do. Because Jesus even said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Have you guys kept all his commandments? Anybody here? Nobody? Okay, yeah, I haven't either. Here's how it works. We have, up here we'll draw a picture of God. You ever seen a picture of God before? You're willing to make, you hear that joke before, the kid, little kid's in class, and he's drawing a picture of God, and his teacher comes up to him, and he says, the teacher says, "What are you doing, Johnny?" He says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." He says, "You can't draw a picture of God. Nobody knows what God looks like. It might be idolatry if you do that. You can't draw a picture of God because nobody's ever seen God." He said, "Well, they will when I get finished. They'll know exactly what he looked like." And I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to write God up here, okay? So we'll write God up here, and we'll draw you somewhere down here. We'll say you're right about here. Now, you with me? Are you drawing? You guys feel free to draw as much as you want, and color, whatever you want to do. That's fine. But, okay, so here's the deal. I don't like this one either, so I'm going to go back to this one. So God, does God love you? Does God love you? How do you know God loves you? What are some ways we know God loves us? One is this. I'll head you off real quick, and then I'll get some more from you. One is that he's given us life, right? You're alive. Did you make yourself alive? Anybody ever make? Nobody did? Okay, so everybody got that as a gift, as an evidence of God's love. He gave you life. Yeah, that's not dark enough. I'm going to try brown this time. Here we go. What are some other ways that God loves you? How do you know God loves you? Forgiveness. Man, that's huge right there. That's huge. Because that right there, that takes care of that whole problem. The fact that he said we're supposed to love him and we didn't. Right? So that fixes that. What else? How else do you know God loves you? He's giving us his word. Yeah. There we go. I'll put Bible over here, or his word. So God's given us his word. He's given us Bible. Think about that. God, the creator of the universe, has made it possible for you to understand who he is. He's communicated with you. I mean, think about that. I mean, if Bill Gates sent you a letter today, would you read it? I mean, not if it came with a stamp on the front. I mean, not the form letter kind of thing, but, you know, it was like handwritten. If Bill Gates sent you a letter, would you read it? You would, wouldn't you? Well, God sent you a letter. And it's way better than anything Bill Gates would ever write, because it won't crash or anything. But he gave you a book, and you should know God's word. But he's done that because he wants you to know him. See, that's the amazing thing about this. You were not created just to serve, just to fish, just to make money, just to have a retirement account. But you were created to do what Jesus said to do, to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. You were designed to love God, and if you're not loving God, you're not doing what you were created to do. And that wasn't where I was supposed to say that, but that's right there. So here it is. So we got forgiveness, Bible. He's giving you, what else? Family. He's giving us a family, right? So he's giving us a family. How else do you know God loves you? There's a lot of ways, right? But these are good ones. These are good ones. I like that he gives us grace. Grace is not giving us what we deserve. He's giving us some other stuff. Now, but here's our problem, right? Boy, I only have one eye. Let me give myself another eye. There we go. We got two eyes. Okay. Now, our problem that we have here is that there's something that kind of blocks this off a little bit. Now understand this. Theologians call kind of like life and family, they call it a thing called common grace. And what common grace is, it's like God says he makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. He gives Osama bin Laden air and oxygen and sunlight and a family just like he gives us that. But there is not this special relationship. And what hinders that special relationship, and not just between him and us, but even with us, is a thing called sin. And sin is where we've chosen to rebel against God, where we have broken God's law, and we are naturally turned away from God. You guys sinners? It's just, we're in church, it's okay. I mean, is the person sitting next to you a sinner? Yeah, totally, right? Yeah, we got that one down, right? So we understand we're all sinners, right? You totally understand that. And so the problem is, this sin comes in between you experiencing God's forgiveness, understanding his word, and experiencing his grace. So you know what the biggest way is that you can tell if God loves you? What's the biggest way? That he sends his son to die for your sin. That he becomes a man, and he actually, this sin deserves death, but God becomes a man and actually pays for it himself. He actually comes and dies on a cross, that's what we celebrated last week, and rises again. But so this payment on the cross then makes it possible for you to experience and receive all this love from God. And then, and only then, are you free and able to bust through this sin and actually love God back. Now, hang on to all this, because we're going to talk about this stuff a little bit more next week and what we do with all this. But what I'm saying is, if you're supposed to love God, you have to know Jesus. You have to give your heart to him. You have to live for him, because you can't get around your sin. You can't get in God's presence unless your sin is forgiven. And the only way your sin is forgiven is if you come to a place in your life where you realize, I'm a sinner, And I need forgiveness for this sin. And Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. And so I'm turning from my sin and I'm placing my faith and my hope and my trust in you. Because Jesus, if I try to earn my way to heaven, I won't make it because I'm a sinner. I haven't loved God with all my heart perfectly. I haven't kept the law and I failed. But Jesus, you kept it perfectly. And when you died on the cross, you paid for my sin. And you said, anybody that trusts you get to go to heaven. How cool is that? And so if you haven't given your heart to Christ, I beg you to do it today. And listen, but here's the deal. It's not just a thing where you go, okay, I'm going to pray a prayer, say some words or something. You actually surrender your life to him. You say, I want to follow you the rest of my life. Be it imperfectly or not, I want to give you my life. And so through that, then you say, God, you are now my priority. Then God is really what matters most, and loving him is what matters most. And here's the cool thing about it is after all this is gone, God will still be here. God was here before it all started. He will still be there after it all began, because here's what's going to happen. The schooling, you're going to forget probably 75% of what you learned, right? You're going to forget all that stuff. Your friends, unless you have Facebook, you'll probably never see half of them again. The money is already, half of it, it's gone from a 401k to a 201k already, right? So Your kids are going to get on your nerves every now and then. They may, who knows what's going to, you don't know how they're going to turn out, do you? We don't know. We try, we do our best, but it's up to, they get to choose, and you know, they get to say where they're going to be like. And then their grandkids, they're always going to be kind of cool. But you know, so you get that, and then if provided you get along with your kids, that could be really bad if you didn't, couldn't it? Your retirement, you know, what are you going to do with it? Here's the thing. If you love God with all your heart, it makes, and we'll talk about this more next week, it makes every one of these things better. It's not an either or. That's the coolest thing about it. It's not like, okay, if I love God, then I can't surf. If I love God, then I can't have fun. If I love God, then I won't have a good relationship. No, God says, you make me the priority, and I'll make your marriage better than you ever imagined it can be. You make me the priority, and I'm going to make you a wise financial steward so that whether you have a ton of money or not a ton of money, you're going to be able to manage, you're going to know what it means to invest for eternity. If you make me the priority, if you love God with all your heart, then when you go surfing, you're not just out looking for a wave, but you're out enjoying the creation that I created especially for you. And that one wave that only you got to ride, nobody else got to ride it ever in the history of the world, they'll never get to ride it again. And so instead of just going, wow, that was fun, you can have worship in the ocean or fishing or whatever it is. It changes everything if you have the right thing. Now, here's the thing. Hang with me real quick. We're almost done. At this point in your life, what mattered most to you? And I'm telling you, I could not have out-argued you to tell you that you weren't the most important thing. At this point, I couldn't have out-argued you to tell you that your friends weren't the most important thing. I couldn't have changed your mind at any one of those points, could I? However, your mind changed, didn't it? It shifted, didn't it? Now, here's my question. Isn't it just possible that if loving God isn't the most important thing in the world to you right now, that maybe it should be? What if you're wrong? I don't want you to get to the end of your life because this is coming. I don't want you to get to here and go, man, I missed it. I had the wrong priority. I was focused on the wrong stuff. So you need to get to Christ today. You need to give your heart to him, and you need to make loving God your number one priority in your life. That's what Jesus said mattered most. It mattered more than anything. And here's what that looks like. And here's the cool thing about it. When that happens, then you experience forgiveness. All those sins that you wish you never committed, those of you that have sinned, and even if you're not a Christian, even if you don't buy any of this stuff, you've got stuff in your past that you know Christians would call sin that you wish you hadn't done, right? I mean, think of those things you regret. You get forgiveness for that if you trust Jesus. He says it's done. God doesn't look at that stuff anymore. He says Jesus paid for that. You're forgiven. You get grace. You get his word. You get to know him. So loving God then also means, we're talking about this next week, it means extending that to others and how you can do that. And so you get the ability to forgive others. You get the ability to live without bitterness. You get the ability to understand God's word and hear from God and get his direction in life. And you get the ability to live with him forever in heaven if he is number one priority. That's what this is all. Does that make sense? What matters most is loving God. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense? What matters most is loving God. What matters most? There you go. So you got it. Now here's the question. We understand that and we can say that, but do you? Do you love? Does he have first place in your life? Does he matter more than whether or not you get the job, than whether or not you make the payment, than whether or not the guy asks you out or the girl asks you? Does he matter more than the promotion? Does he matter more than anything else? Because what matters most is loving God, I want to challenge you and encourage you to make that, make him the priority of your life, because it'll make everything else fall into place. If you get that one thing right, the rest of it really lines up pretty well. Let's pray together. Maybe where you're sitting right now, you'd say, you know, I think it's a great idea and all, but I don't really know him, but I'd like to. What you need to do right where you're sitting, if you've never trusted Christ, is you need to talk to God and just say, God, I know I've sinned and I know that I've broken your law. I know I need forgiveness. You tell him, say, Jesus, I believe you died for me and I believe you rose from the dead and you're alive today. I want to give you my heart. I want that forgiveness. I surrender to you. I'm turning from my sin and I'm placing my faith in you. I'm trusting you as much as I know how. I don't understand all this even, but I know you're the Son of God, and I know I want to give you my life, so I just ask you to take it. I want to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. That's how you start this journey. That's similar to the same thing I said when I was 19, when I became a follower of Christ. And that's really what it means to be a Christian. Being a Christian isn't all about keeping rules, even though those kind of fall into place, you do live different, but it's all about loving Jesus and loving God. And you were created for this. So I encourage you to do that. Give him your heart. And even with your heads just all bowed together here, I want you to take a moment and just think about this. God loves you. You. What does that mean to you? What difference does that make in your life? That the creator of the universe created you and designed you, and he loves you. And it's not because you did something bad or good last week. Not because you made your parents happy or sad. He loves you. And he created you to have a love relationship with him. He created you to honor him. And I think it changes everything. I just want to encourage you to meditate on that this week. Think about what matters most is that you love God. All you need to do is love him back. All you need to do is love him back. Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you've shown us what matters most clearly through your word and simply, Lord. And God, I do pray, God, that even though it's so tempting, Lord, for me to look at this and say that's simple and gloss over it and go on, but God, I pray that you would just, God, mess us up, Lord. Let this truth permeate every fiber of our being so that we will go through life tomorrow, Lord, not just thinking about our job and our school and all the things that have taken precedence over you, but that, God, we would just be consumed with loving you. And not in a weird way so that we're like weird people that people don't want to be around, but, God, in a way that makes people want to know what the difference is, in a way that makes people see a difference, in a way that affects how we treat other people so that we love them and so that they are drawn to you, drawn to your son Jesus. Lord, I pray for anyone in here this morning that has never given their heart to you. God, if they didn't do it a moment ago, maybe they did, and God, if they did, I pray they'll talk to me afterwards. But if they haven't given their heart to you yet, God, I pray that you would continue to draw them to yourself, God. Don't let them rest until they surrender to you. Until they're loving you the way you created them to love you. And let us all do that. And Lord, I pray it'll make a huge impact on our lives and our families' lives and everyone around us. I ask all this in Jesus' name.